God, thanks for giving us a word to stand on, and thank you for your love and grace. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being your children and for giving us the time and the resources to be together to hear your word, where we're just safe and your peace abounds. Pray for this night again, that it's a blessing to you and it's a blessing to all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Be seated. Jimmy's going to play a song.
God's heart is open to hear your prayers. God's will is to hear when you're in despair. Times may be hard, you can knock to the ground. God in Christ in you, you don't have to sit down. Some days are like riding a back downhill wind in your hair. Others are all uphill, struggle all the way. Either way, God can get you to where you need to be. As long as you don't stop believing, you will see that God can do what no man can. He can bring the impossible to pass. God truly loves you, you're never alone. All you gotta do is ask. Don't keep your pain hidden, reach out your hands. Someone wants to pray for you, it's part of God's plan. Get rescued by prayer, get rescued by prayer. On the lips of believers who love and care. Cause God can do what no man can. He can bring the impossible to pass. God truly loves you, you're never alone. All you gotta do is ask. The Lord, he comes quickly, yeah, there's no time to waste. Pray for each other, minister God's grace. God's given you the freedom to live. Take what you got and give, give, give. Cause God can do what no man can. He can bring the impossible to pass. God truly loves you, you're never alone. All you gotta do is ask. And God can do what no man can. He can bring the impossible to pass. God truly loves you, you're never alone. All you gotta do is ask.
If you want to go to Ephesians 6, that's where we're going to start. It was February of 1971 when I went to my very first fellowship in Marin County at, I think it was Park School, where Dr. Victor Paul Werrell was teaching the advanced class, and he had an open session on a Sunday, and he was teaching on healing. And he taught the record of John chapter 9 about the man that was born blind. And at the end of his teaching, he invited people, whoever had a need, to come up front. And then different people ministered to those people who came up front. And the guy that was sitting next to me went up front, and he was really stoned. I mean, stoned. On probably a hallucinogenic drug. And when he came back, he was completely whole. And it really made an impact on me, because for the first time in my life, number one, I understood a little bit of the word. Number two, this guy got healed. Number three, I saw God's love. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." If any of us are ever going to be strong in the Lord, it is absolutely imperative for us to be strong in God's word. It has to be that way, because you don't get to know me, by never talking to me or never understanding what I'm about by observing and listening to me. And so God chose, out of all the things in the world he chose to communicate himself, he chose words. And God's word reveals God. It shows us who God is. You don't get it by looking at a star. You don't get it by looking at oceans and stuff like mountains, which are all really great things to look at. But you don't get to know God by that. The only way to get to know God is by his word or his words, whether it's his written word or God would happen to speak to us. It's the only two ways you can get to know God. There's no other way that we can get to know God outside of his word. And God chose words to communicate himself. Therefore, he gave us his word. And I'd like you to go to Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. And last year, I think it was, we did an advance on this psalm. This verse was the theme. Was it last year? Verse 20? Yeah. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their what? God sent his word. That's what he sent. So many times in our life and in history, if you know anything about history, words were communicated to certain people so as to save certain people or to harm certain people. Words are incredibly important. What we say, what we listen to, what we put in our minds. And God chose to send his, he sent his word. And not only did he send it, but he healed them. And he delivered them from all their destructions. The word healed means to make completely healthy. It means to mend all wounds, physical, mental, you know, whatever. It means to repair. It means to thoroughly make whole. God sent his word and made completely healthy, mended all wounds, repaired, and thoroughly made whole them. And not only that, but he delivered them from all their destructions. Delivered does not mean you take out your liver. It's another thing it took hours to look up. Delivered means to slip away, to escape, or to save. He sent his word so that we could be healed. He sent his word so we could escape from the perils of this world. He sent his word. That's what he sent. Could have been a lot of things, but he sent his word. Think of how profitable it is for us to be strong in our knowledge and our believing God's word. Just think of the potential possibilities. We went through some of the great things that God did this morning. Some of you mentioned some of them. I mentioned some. So many deliverances, so many healings. So why not us? Matthew 22. You know, Jesus Christ was something. And I know you know that. When we think of Jesus Christ, too oftentimes we think of him holding babies and, you know, blessing everybody. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was a man's man. He was the perfect Son of God and he had integrity. He had integrity. And he was very loving. Of course, we learned today again how this is the love of God that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. Jesus Christ says, look at what he says here. Verse 29 of Matthew 22 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do what? Err. Not knowing, number one, not knowing the scriptures, and number two, not knowing the power of God. Jesus Christ was reproving people here who were top religious people, people who should have known the scriptures. Jesus Christ looked them right in the eyes and said, you guys have erred because you don't know the word and you don't know the power of the word, the power of it. You don't know it. So how we approach God's word is really important. These guys were responsible for God and his word. If the only thing that I can share about my life on experiences and all that stuff would be stuff that I saw 40 years ago, I'd quit. God's doing stuff right now. He does stuff every week. He shows himself strong on our behalf. We just got to be people that are ready to hear. Just like here. We learned in a class that it's our attitude towards God's word that determines our spirituality. That didn't mean in the inside. It means how far you go. Where are you going with God? What's our attitude? Do we think, are we the know-it-alls? Do I know it all? No. Neither do you, Mr. Big Shot. We know him who knows it all. And we learn his word, and it should be something that we desire to do. If you don't desire to do that, you shouldn't even be here. If you're here for the cookies and the fellowship and just the hugs, then this place isn't for you. It's for people who want to hear God's word and want to increase in their operation of the power of God. How do we approach God's word? Look at the great prophet Jeremiah. Go to chapter 15. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. And here was a man of God, as many of you know, he was a tremendous prophet. He held on to God's word, and it wasn't met with great results as far as people believing him. They hated him. They hated him for it. They didn't like him. He was detested. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Jeremiah speaking, he's speaking to God. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." It was his joy. It was his rejoicing. That's what he was so blessed by. You know, that's what blesses me too. I love waking up in the morning and sitting in my chair and just reading God's word. Not to get a teaching together, but to enjoy my fellowship with God, to learn about God and how much he loves me. Learn about God and what he says. It's a great thing. And then to have the privilege of being married to someone like Diane, who, you know, by the time I get up, she's already listened to 22 tapes, but, you know, or whatever like that. You know, it's such a joy to be married to a spouse that loves God's word too. And then it's such a joy to be able to fellowship with people like you that do the same thing. It's just, there's something to reading God's word and just enjoying it. Well, it was the joy and rejoicing of Jeremiah's heart was God's word. It's pretty neat. Go to Proverbs, please. Chapter 2. Tonight we're looking at being strong in the Lord by being strong in God's word. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, so many of these scriptures we've heard before, but you know, it's the hearing of God's word that builds believing. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10, 17. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge." When's the last time we did that? Well, we cried out to our Father so that we could know something, that we could know him better. "If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Help me understand. "If thou seekest her as silver," and boy, I think that's so interesting. You know, the way the world operates is money, pretty much. And we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. You're not successful because you have $1 million. I don't care. That's not impressive to God. At the gathering, you're going to show him you got $1 million? What are you going to do with your million? Hey, if you got $1 million, good. You got $1 million different ways to give it. Anyway, If you seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, and people spend their lives looking for hid treasures, for the doubloons. They're looking for the doubloons, you know, and the gold coins and all that stuff. They'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on boats and radar and all this kind of stuff to end up not finding anything usually, you know. Do we search for God's word like silver? Do we seek for her silver? Do we search for her as for hid treasures? It says then. Number one, after receiving the words, God's word. Number two, after hiding the commandments in your heart. Number three, inclining your ear unto wisdom, applying your heart to understanding. Number four, if you cry after knowledge. Number five, lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Seekest her as silver, searchest for her as hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Studying God's word and getting into God's word and believing God's word is not a passive thing. It's an aggressive thing. This needs to be done with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's something that's very, very important. We know that. If thou criest, you know what that word criest means? To call out with a really loud voice, a call for help. Sometimes believers are arrogant in their receiving help because they don't want anybody to know that they're weak, or they don't want anybody to know that they don't understand something, or that, you know, especially with leaders are like this. And, you know, it's stupid, it's repulsive, it's repugnant, it's dumb. If I need help, I'm going to call and get help. I told you today I was nervous before I taught. I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel weak, because we can go outside and talk about it. I don't feel weak. Dang it, I'm a human being. You know, I need help. We cry out for God's help. James chapter 1. I see a lot of you young people in here today for this week, and it's such a thrill to my heart to see you. A lot of you are younger than I was when I got in the Word at 18. But I'll tell you something, when I was 18, I decided this is it. This is my life. I don't care if I'm a plumber. I don't care what the heck I do. This is my life. God and His Word and His people. You're not too old to have to make that decision. You don't have to make any decision. I'm just telling you what I made up my mind at a very young age. Chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. And I love this word, superfluity. The superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The way we receive God's word is not reluctantly. It's not with pride or looking with a view towards, I already know this, see if he teaches me something that I want to know. If he teaches it the way I want to hear it. Ah, bull. It doesn't matter. It's the word. If you receive God's word with meekness, it's able to make whole your soul. It can make your soul whole. How do we receive the word? How do we approach God? Is it with meekness? How do we approach this week? I want to know. I want to understand. I want to grow. I want to have a greater fellowship with God. I want to be happier. I want to be more joyful. I want to see healing. I need healing. I need help. Well, then you're going to get some help. Attitude. Break it down. Matthew 5. Let's see. Well. Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Jesus Christ said this. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. There's not any one of us in here that's going to get less filled than what we're hungry for. We might get more filled because God's that away. But we're not going to be less filled. It just depends on, are you hungry? Is it, I gots to know? Remember that from a Clint Eastwood movie? Dirty Harry, he had to know. And he found out and he died. But Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled up, man. 1 Thessalonians. These are all foundational scriptures, but you know what? If we're going to be strong in the word, we got to be strong in understanding what God's word says about his word. 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 2. It's a great chapter. In verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed." Boy, they had some kind of great attitude. How we approach God's word is so very important if we're going to benefit from it. If we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, how do you approach it, man? How do I approach it? Is it out of some obligation? Do we have to fill an obligation? You know, I got to read Ephesians today because, you know, I got to read Ephesians. Well, why are you reading Ephesians? Because I got to. Why? Why do you want it? Why do you want to read it? So you can say you read it? Or so that you can profit from it in your relationship with God, but also in your walk with others and helping others. How we approach the word is so important. Psalm 1. And you know, some of you guys condemn yourself way too much. If we condemn ourselves at all, it's way too much. But here's a man, David, okay? David had sex with Bathsheba because she was looking good and he was horny. And he brought her to his house because he could, because he was king. And they made whoopee. And she got pregnant. Right? And then he tried to cover that by bringing her husband in and exhorting him to go into his wife, which seems like anybody who'd been out on the front lines in an army would want to be with their wife and spouse and have some fun, but he didn't do it. So then the next night, David got him drunk out of his mind, hoping that he would go, and he wouldn't do it. Then David sent him to the front lines with a letter telling his boss to put him on the front lines to be killed. This is what David, okay? You have a problem with condemnation? And yet God's word records David in the book of Acts as a man after God's own heart. It wasn't when he was doing those things. It wasn't when he was screwing somebody else's wife. It wasn't when he had a believer murdered. You done that lately? And yet David is recorded as a man after God's own heart. Psalm 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," and that's, you know, the world's counsel, "nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this blessed man," and the word blessed means blessed in your journey. It means a happy walk. It basically means you're happy. "But this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord." He's happy because he's in the word of God. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." He thinks about God's word. First song I ever wrote after I got in the word was, "The word by day, the word by night. There is one thing certain, the word is all right." "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This blessed man who his delight is in God's word, who's thinking about the word of God a lot in his day-by-day living, he's going to be somebody who prospers. He's going to be someone who manifests fruit. You know, it says in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness." When people see us, that's what they ought to see. They ought to see love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, all those things. Hey? And if they do, it's a result of you, me, us, believing the word, meditating upon the word, being delighted in God's word. And this is what it takes to be strong in the Lord. You got to be strong in his word. All the other subjects we're going to study this week are a result of that first part. That's it, the God's word. That's where we learn about peace, and that's where we learn about righteousness. That's where we learn about love. That's where we learn about it all. It starts with God's word. Well, Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and in verse 20. 6:20. It says, "My son, keep my father's commandment, thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, I shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life." Boy, oh boy, you see these verses? Boy, don't forsake God's word. Bind them in our heart. That's why I share so often about the benefits of the stayed mind and the fixed heart. Most people's minds run a million miles a second. Slow down. Think of a verse for 2 minutes. And you go, "Ah, that's not hard. Go ahead and do it." Not that easy. Start thinking of hamburgers and carrots and girls and the Hunger Games. No, what's that stupid show everybody watched? What is it? Game of Thrones. "Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When you go, I'll be there. I'll even lead you. I won't just be there. I'll lead you." Wow. I need God to lead me if I want a great life. "When you go to bed, it shall keep thee." God's word will keep you. "And when you get up, it shall talk with thee." It's beautiful. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." God's word can lead us if we let him. God's word can guide us in the right direction if we let him. God's word will bring you to the right place at the right time with the right people if you let it. And it says here, "When you sleep, it shall keep thee." And that word "keep" is beautiful, and a lot of you know it. It's that word to guard, like a watchman, keeping all outside influences from coming in, keeping the enemy away, so to speak. It protects you. It saves you. It preserves you. It takes care of you. This is what God's word does. And it's a lamp. It's a lamp. And the word "lamp" means to glisten. It makes light. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. These are just some great scriptures to remember that if we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, it's absolutely necessary to approach God's word, number one, with the right attitude and with great hunger that we want to know. See, it's not how long you've been in the word. Proverbs 4:20. Chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my" what? Attend means pay attention. Pay attention. Like tonight, we're reading God's word. Pay attention. You're not here to think about college or girls and boys right now. Wait till the break. A lot of things happen on the break. "Attend to my words. Pay attention. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Boy, and you know, Proverbs means words to rule and govern by. And these are great words to rule and govern by. "Let them not depart from your eyes." This is God's word. "Keep," and it means guard, observe, keep them. in the midst of thine heart. And you know, it takes a desire to do this. One of the reasons I love these camps is because we got a whole week of this. Every day, every night, oh my gosh. And you're just thinking better. That's why so many great decisions are made when believers are together and we hear God's word like this. So many great decisions. If you have questions about stuff, this is a great time to get them answered. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them or guard them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto them that find them. Life, life, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. These words of God are life unto those that find them. And we read in Matthew that God fills all those that hunger after righteousness. He fills us. He fills us. People that are hungry after God's word. So their life and their health. Concerned about your health? Go to 80 doctors. You know what will happen? You'll be more concerned about your health. Because all you're thinking about is your health. Think about God's wealth. He provides life and health. That's the best medicine, God. And his word. Because we can't get to God without his word. Remember, these proverbs are ways that we should live. Let's look at some of the benefits here. Length of days. Long life, peace, direction, health. Good gravy. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. You know what happens sometimes when you have a rough day? You go to bed and you say, God, I've had a rough day. Let's make tomorrow better. And you know what? Tomorrow's better. Or maybe not. Maybe you have another rough day. And you go to bed and you say, God, help me out. Every day I'll get a little better. It'll get a little better. It'll get a little better. Our attitude, man, has so much to do with where we're at. 4:12, please. Says this word of God, look at this. This word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's energetic. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word has it figured out. It says in Peter that God's word has all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. We can learn anything we need to know about life and godliness from God's word. That's why God's word is so quick. It's so alive. It's so energetic. It's so powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword that could even divide soul and spirit and joints and marrow. I don't know if the medical field has figured out how to do that yet, but it's sharp. And you know, with the word being so sharp, you can cut somebody in half with it, which I've seen so many people do through the last 30 years especially. Because they know the word, they're going to chop you in half with it. That's not good. Well, I don't come to fellowship to get my ass kicked every night. That's not why I come to fellowship. I don't come to fellowship to get criticized for how crummy I am. I already know how crummy I am. I don't need you to tell me. No, we come to get built up, to get blessed, to hear the word, to get encouragement, so that we can believe God's word, so that we can see it for ourselves. Boy, oh boy, this word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah. And it's the critic, the word, not me, not you. Don't worry about if somebody criticizes you. Maybe you're doing good. At least that's what I've tried to believe. I must be doing great. They all hate me. No. Nah. But God's word is alive. It brings life. We've read it in Proverbs. We read it in Psalms. We read it here. It's alive. It's energetic. 2 Timothy 2, y'all know it. Verse 15, you can just write it down. It says, study to show yourself approved unto who?
God.
Not your clergyman. I don't want to have to know stuff so I can. Bob Chatton's going to say, well, you're okay now. No. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? We learn God's word by studying it. We learn God's word by reading it. Really, so much of the word of God is right where it's written. The majority of it is. Let's go to Acts 13. I mentioned this earlier, but we'll read it in verse 22. It says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David was a man after God's own heart. Boy, oh boy, go to Psalm 119, please. 119th Psalm. And you know, this psalm is just incredible. It's a good psalm to read once in a while. Just read through it and look at all the things that God's word mentions about the word. And God, of course, is the author, but David was the writer. And Psalm 119, I'll get there. You know, pick a verse. 97. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. This is what David loved. He loved God's word. It's what he thought about all day long. And David was on the run a lot. He was in exile all the time. He was always on the run. Saul was after him. Everybody's after him. And yet God's word, that was what he loved. It was what his meditation was. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my what?
Heart.
That I might not, what?
Sin.
It was God's word that David put in his heart so that he wouldn't sin. You know, the more you're thinking about God and his word, the more you're going to do what God wants. The way to stop stealing is not to think about stealing all the time. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to steal. I'm not. The next thing you know, you're going to steal because that's all you're thinking about. I'm never going to lie again. Well, that's a lie. So you're done right there. Look, you don't get rid of stuff by thinking about it all the time. I'm never going to have another drink. Well, all you're thinking about is drinking. And the next drink is close. You got to think about God. You got to think about how good he is. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what we hide in our heart. God wants us to hide his word in our heart so we can have great fellowship with him. And fellowship is the key to our spiritual happiness. That's how we stay blessed. Even with all the shenanigans that go around us, all the hurt that's thrown our way, and boy, it happens, doesn't it? Because there's a devil. But we can stay joyful. We can stay happy by keeping that word of God and meditating on it, putting it in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 130. Ah, what a great verse. The entrance of thy word, again, giveth light. God's word gives light. And light is that which dispels darkness. So if we're having a problem with the adversary, with the devil, with him bugging us over and over again in a certain area, really hurting us, harming the people around us, put that word of God in. Because it's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. And light is that which gets rid of the junk. And it giveth understanding unto the complex. No. To the what?
Simple.
Simple. That doesn't mean stupid. But people who, you know, it says in Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Why we ever think that we're so smart, or why we ever think that we're so strong, is just silly. Maybe you're strong in the physical world. Maybe you have a high IQ. I praise the Lord. I'm thankful for your IQ. And I am. It's great. I would have liked a better IQ. Don't kid yourself. I'm really sharp. But it's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. It's the entrance of God's word that giveth understanding to the simple. The simple. When I first got into God's word, the majority of the people that were in the word, and there were hundreds, were ex-drug addicts or drug addicts. And they didn't have a care in the world. We didn't have a care in the world. We just wanted to enjoy life. I didn't have a 20-year plan. You do this to your children? I feel sorry for your children. I had no plan whatsoever. I just wanted to enjoy my life, but I didn't. I was sad. I needed something in my life. I knew I needed something in my life. And that something was God and His Word. And it was a bunch of people who weren't highly educated. It was a bunch of people who believed God's Word and saw signs, miracles, and wonders every day. That's where our heart needs, we don't need to be drug addicts to have that. I'm not saying that. But our heart needs to be simple. Start slicing life down a little bit. You don't have to buy a house. You can, but you don't have to. I was sitting with Warren Porter, who worked on Wall Street and was very prosperous and just did tremendous. And I was sitting with a bunch of fellow laborers one time around the kitchen table, and they were peppering Warren because, you know, he knew about finances and what's the best investment? What's the best in? Is buying a car? Is buying a house? Is real estate? Is stocks? Is this? And Warren just kept shaking his head. And then finally they were smart enough to say, well, what do you think the best investment is? And he said, believe in God and abundant sharing. And I was like, dang, that's it. That's good, Warren. Yeah. But we want to make everything so doggone. Well, the world wants to make us think everything's so difficult. What does it say? The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. To the simple, that's you and me. Make your life a little less complicated by believing the word. John 17. One of the greatest chapters. Boy, it's just a tremendous chapter. We won't read it all, but wouldn't hurt us to do that sometime. John 17. This is Jesus Christ talking things over with God. Verse 6. John 17, 6. Jesus Christ said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy what?
Word.
Yeah. They came to Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ gave them the word, and they kept it. Look at verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me. Jesus Christ didn't have a 20-year plan. He gave them the word that God gave to him. But what did he give them? The word. He gave them God's word. This is the only begotten Son of God who never sinned, who never blew it, who kept the Father's will all the time. I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Wow, that's tremendous. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy what?
Word.
I have given them thy word. And the world hated them because they're not of the world. Even as I'm not of the world, you know, the world will give you a hard time sometimes if you stand on the word. That's okay. It's kind of fun. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world and be this superpower someplace in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We're all going to move there. We're going to eat vegetables and read the word all day long. No. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
We could trust God's word because God is the author of his word. He is perfect. He is never wrong. He never lies. Numbers. Genesis, Numbers, chapter 23, another very familiar verse. Numbers 23. Again, if we're to be strong in the Lord, we've got to be strong in God's word. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, we just have to have a great attitude towards going towards it. I go to God's word because I want to. I go to God's word because I need to. I go to God's word because I'm hungry. I want to know what to do. I want to know how to live. That's why I go to God's word. And I also go to God's word to learn it so I could share it with others. Because this word that you would share with other people, it's life to them too. It blesses them. I share the word wherever I go. Why not? Here at camp to these staff people. It doesn't matter. The hotel. Wherever we are. It's about the word. I've seen people get embarrassed when I share the word. And they're with me. And they're believers. That's kind of strange to me. Chapter 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should what? So God isn't like we are. God tells the truth all the time. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God doesn't need to repent. Hath he, God said, and shall he not do it? You know, these are figures of speech. These are questions asked, already knowing the answer. I think they're called rhetorical. God's not a man that he should lie. He's not the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath God said, and shall he not do it? Everything God says he'll do, he'll do. What is it that you need? He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. He loves you. Right now. Hath he said something that he wouldn't do? And that which he said, shall he not make it good? Is that what it says? I hope. Okay. You know, not only is God not a man that he should lie, but everything he says he'll do. And everything he says is good. What is the downside to being a believing believer? There's no downside. It's all good. It's all great. Back in Ephesians. So this is just a little bit of my heart tonight. You want to make the first day of camp kind of easy because people travel a distance and stuff, so won't beat you up too bad until tomorrow. Then, boy, woo, look out. Now, Ephesians 6:10. Again, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And like I started with, in order to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, we must be strong in believing God's word. And we got to believe that God's word is God's will. That's how we're strong.